Hello, I am Dr. Stephen Myers from the Institute for Biblical and Scientific Studies. Today, the Bible. What does the Bible say about the age of the earth? Then part two, the history of the age of the earth. And part three, the arguments for an old earth and a young earth, which we'll probably divide again. But let's look first at the Bible. The very first person, an early church father, Julius Africanus, is probably the first one that put a chronology together to try to figure out the age of the earth. Probably the most famous, though, is Bishop Usher, who calculated it all out and figured out that 4004 BC was the day of creation. Now, you have to assume a number of things. You have to assume that there are no gaps in the genealogies. If we look at the Bible, we see son of. But is that a direct father-son relationship? In the Hebrew, it can mean just descendant of. It does not necessarily mean a direct father-son relationship. For example, Jesus is called the Son of David. That does not mean that Jesus is the direct son of his father David. It means Jesus is a descendant of David. There are 1,000 years that separate biblical David from Jesus. So we cannot assume a direct father-son relationship. Also, genealogies are arranged symmetrical. This is the way the Jews did it. They wanted to maybe point out some prominent people in their heritage. In the book of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus is arranged in three groups of 14 names. And in order to get this symmetry, one name has to be repeated. In the book of Luke, the genealogy of Jesus adds another name, Canaan, which is not found in the book of Genesis. So there are additions and subtractions in the genealogies. We cannot assume a direct father-son relationship, and therefore we cannot know for sure exactly the date of creation as Bishop Usher assumed. Another thing is that the manuscripts, the Hebrew manuscripts, the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew, adds at least 1,000 years to the genealogy, probably because of the Egyptian chronology, in order to place the flood before the Egyptian dynasties. The Masoretic text does not have these extra 1,000 years. So we have two differences. Now, Genesis 1, the 6 days of creation, were also by many assumed to be a foreshadowing of things to come. The day of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. So they assumed all the history of the world was encompassed in the book of Genesis in 6 days, 6,000 years. So many thought that the end of 6,000 years, The world would end. The Messiah would come. Jesus would return. And many based their eschatology, the study of the future, the study of end times, when the world would end, was based on the 6 days of Genesis. There must be 6,000 years. And then the world would end. And according to the Septuagint, which many used, it was the Bible of the early Christians. It was what is quoted in the New Testament most of the time. And so many assume Christ was coming back soon. The end of the world was soon, because it's almost 6,000 years are up. But according to the Masoretic texts, we're only at 5,700 and something years. And so we still have a couple hundred years to go. Well, we don't know for sure about that. But this is how they saw things in ancient times. And even people today think that when it gets to that 6,000 years, the world is going to end, Christ is going to come back. Because of the 6,000 years, many predicted an exact date for the end of the world. For many, the fall of Jerusalem was thought to be the time of the Great Tribulation, that Nero was the Antichrist, and that Christ was going to come back. And some believe that the preterists, that Jesus came back in judgment, destroyed Jerusalem, and that he's already returned. Others set numerous other dates. Some thought it was in the fall of the Roman Empire. That was supposed to be the end of the world. 1000 A.D., many thought the world was going to end. During the time of Martin Luther, others thought the world was going to end. Today, we have many saying the world is going to end. And many of it is based on the 6 days, 6,000 years, and the end of time. Well, we have to look at other evidence. Is the Bible right here? Is there just 6,000 years? Or is the earth older than that? Is the Bible a history book, a science book, that is a geology book to tell us this? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Not for instruction in geology and how old the earth is. So we need to look at nature itself that God created and see what are the indicators of how old the earth is. So we want to move on. In ancient times, bones were found, fossils, and it's interesting to see what they did with these fossils. Many saw these huge bones of probably dinosaurs or more likely mastodons and other extinct creatures as bones from ancient giants, men that ruled and walked over the earth years ago. And that's probably where we have these myths and legends of giants because they found these huge bones from the mastodon and other creatures and thought, these must be from giant men. For the Greeks, the Titans. Now, one example is in the Odyssey, written by Homer, that the island of Cyclops. And well, if we dig there, we find these giant skulls of mastodons. And when you look at them, it looks like they have one huge eye. So most likely, this legend of Cyclops came from finding these mastodon skulls. Now today we realize that this is not the case. Now, some would find these mastodon, the ivory tusks, and many thought these were from the unicorn. Or they might find other tusks from other ancient animals and assume this was from a unicorn. For some in the Middle Ages, Satan put those fossils in the ground to confuse us. For others later on, it must have been from Noah's flood. That's what caused all these fossils. So not until we get to the 19th century, well, we should say also in the 18th century, that we begin to understand the age of the earth from a scientific point of view. Discoveries were made. James Hutton discovering the earth's antiquity. Then we have Charles Lytle and his principles of geology, that the earth must be very old. Then Darwin came along with his theory of evolution, which demanded lots of time. And there was reactions against this. The earth can't be that old. Lord Kelvin figured out if the earth was hot, and in order to cool down, it could only be 90 million years old. Not as old as evolutionists say, years old. And so some began to see that the earth must be older than the 6,000 years of the Bible. Now some accepted the science here. And in order to make it harmonize with the Bible, they came up with the gap theory. And this was prominent in the early 20th century. It was popularized in the Scofield Bible and the Scofield Notes that there was a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. God created everything in Genesis 1:1, and then between verse 1 and verse 2, Satan caused the world to fall back into void and darkness. So God had to recreate the world and repopulate the world with animals, and finally man. And so they put this gap between verse 1 and verse 2 of the millions and billions of years. Others take the 6 days as six periods of time. Long periods of time which God is working. For others, the fundamentalists, the literalists said, we must stick to the Bible. We can't accept this science here. And McGrady was one of the key proponents of flood geology. That the flood must have caused all the geology that we see here today. This was picked up again by Henry Morris. And the famous book, The Genesis Flood, by Henry Morris and John Whitcomb in the early 1960s. This had a powerful impact of trying to use science to show that the Earth was broke away and started its own group, ICR, the Institute for Creation Research, in the early 70s. One of the most famous groups. Then Ken Ham split off from ICR and formed his own group, Answers in Genesis. And these three groups are the key players in the young earth creationist movement, trying to find some scientific evidence for a young earth. And so we want to move into part three. Let's look at some of the young earth creationist evidence. Now, I attended the International Conference on Creationists in about 1998, and I wanted to see what was the key important evidence. And one prominent leader said, population statistics show the Earth is very young. My jaw almost dropped to the floor when I heard this. How can that show the Earth is young? I remember reading in high school, Future Shock, when by the year 2000 there'd be so many people that we'd have like standing room only. Well, I don't see that. Because with statistics you can manipulate them. There are wars. There's epidemics using exponential curves to try to prove the Earth must be young, like the speed of light, the decay of the Earth's magnetic field, the shrinking sun. When we look at these carefully, we see that there are problems with these views. For example, the shrinking sun. They took some measurements and found that the sun is shrinking. So what you do is you calculate it out and say, oh, the sun must be very young at this rate of shrinkage. Well, they took some more measurements and found out that the sun was increasing in size. And what they found out, that there was a cycle of decreasing and increasing. About 80 years of this cycle. It's like the Earth is breathing in and out, shrinking, getting larger. And so most creations that are informed do not use the shrinking sun as evidence. The speed of light. Romer, about 300 years ago, the first to measure the speed of light. Well, actually, I should say, Galileo tried to measure the speed of light, Someone with a lantern got up on one hill, another on another hill, and they opened up their lantern to see how fast light was, and they thought it was instantaneous. Well, those were crude measurements. And Roman was the first one to show that the speed of light was not infinite. He measured the eclipse of Jupiter. He found out that it varied, and it was because of the Earth's orbit. The time it took for the light to get there. I remember talking to Kent Hovind. I said, if the speed of light is really going downhill, slowing down, get your telescope out and look at the moons, the eclipses of Jupiter, and measure the speed of light just how Romer did it 300 years ago. Well, he said his instrument was not accurate enough, his telescope. Exactly my point. They had this big debate in the 1920s. They measured the speed of light and it seemed to keep changing. And they wondered, what in the world is going on here? The speed of light changing? And they finally came to the conclusion that it was the instruments. The instruments weren't accurate enough. And so between the different instruments, they would get a little bit different reading. In the 1960s, they had measurements accurate enough that we can know for sure that the speed of light is constant in a vacuum. Now, light can be slowed down. When it goes through water, light slows down. But in a vacuum, it stays the same. In the laboratory, you may have heard that they stopped light completely. That doesn't mean light has stopped coming from the sun. No. Light is still coming from the sun at the same speed. But in laboratory conditions, you can slow it down and you can stop it. You can look at the spectrum in the stars and you can see that light has stayed the same. Light is not slowing down. Most young Earth creationists will not use this argument anymore for a young Earth. What about the decay of the Earth's magnetic field? It's rapid decay. And yes, they've measured some rapid decay of the field. Walter Brown putting forth this view. But when we look at ancient rocks, we see that the Earth's magnetic field has flip-flopped. It has changed. North became south and south became north. There was a reversal in the magnetic field. And then it builds up. And then it goes down and decays and flips and reverses, builds up, decays in different cycles. The last reversal was about 750,000 years ago. Now there was a man in Tokyo, in Japan, who was measuring these rocks and putting his compass on these rocks and discovered that some of these rocks were pointing to the south instead of to the north. And he was the first one who came up with the idea that the Earth reversed itself magnetically. Dr. Humphreys, young earth creationist, took a course in paleomagnetism and thought, well, this can't be right. And the more he studied, the more he realized that, yes, the Earth's magnetic field has reversed itself. They have over 200,000 samples of rocks. About half of them, 100,000, will point north. 100,000 will point south because of the Earth's magnetic field reverses. Not too long ago, they put all the information about the Earth's magnetic field in a supercomputer, and they ran it for 40 days. And near the end of the 40 days, it amazingly reversed itself. So we have abundant evidence of proof that the Earth's magnetic field has decayed, has strengthened, has reversed polarity over millions of years. So this is not an indication that the Earth is young at all. Another key point of information you may have heard of is dinosaur and human footprints are in the same layer. And the most critical one has been in the Paluxy River in Texas. Carl Ball has been there excavating. Before him, Taylor came and made a movie, Footprints in the Stone, that there was supposed human and dinosaur tracks together. How could this be? Well, scientists came there to examine, and what they found out was these are not human footprints. The president of our institute, Dr. Murray, went down there to help out Carl Ball. And he was skeptical of the one footprint they dug up and made a cast of it out of plaster, clandestinely, and took it to an expert in podiatry in Texas there, and he said, this is not a human footprint. It's not anatomically correct human footprint. They went back and dammed up the river, the Paluxy River, and when they looked at the tracks again, they saw that they were just eroded dinosaur tracks. To his credit, Ken Taylor took the film Footprints in Stone off the market from showing because of this. John Morris has been there, and he says we shouldn't use this as evidence. This is only eroded dinosaur tracks. Now, there are some that were carved in the rock. And Carl Ball thinks this one is a genuine one when the Taylors told him that it was just a carved one that they had bought. So there are no human footprints with dinosaur footprints. But some may say, wait, don't we find dinosaurs today? Didn't a Japanese vessel in 1975 find a plesiosaur? Well, when they analyzed the amino acids, they found out that it was just a basking shark. Now, when basking sharks decay and parts start to fall off, it looks like a plesiosaur. But it's really a basking shark. Along the New Zealand coast, some basking sharks washed up ashore, decayed, that looked like plesiosaurs, but when they tested them, they found out they were just basking sharks. And even answers in Genesis have written about this, saying these are only basking sharks. They're not plesiosaurs. They're not dinosaurs. And if we look carefully at some of the other claims, we find out that they were just made up, someone misunderstood, or it's another animal. So we do not have dinosaurs today. So all of them died out 65 million years ago. Now, Dr. Kent Hovind says there's all sorts of stories. The Loch Ness Monster. Well, that picture has been shown to be a fake. The man who made that claimed it was a fake. And if you examine all the evidence, you find out they either faked it, it's some other animal. There are no dinosaurs. Not too long ago, National Geographic went into the deep jungles of Africa. And I emailed them and said, have you found any dinosaurs yet? No dinosaurs. Now, there may be natives that may mistake animals or may want to please who they are and make up stories, but there's been no evidence at all for dinosaurs today. I want to switch gears now to the positive evidence that shows the Earth is very old. And one of these is starlight, the stars. When we look at the sun, we're not seeing the sun as it is, but as it was 8.5 minutes ago. When you look at distant stars, a star that is 10 light years away, it took 10 years for that light to get here. Now, before we had these measurements and instruments, before the 1700s, a key evidence against Copernicus, his view that the Earth went around the sun, was that the stars should change in the sky as we move around and revolve around the sun, the stars should change. And he's exactly right. But we don't see it. Now we know with more accurate instruments, the reason is because you need telescopes and measurements accurate enough to show that these stars are moving. Now, this indicates that the stars are very, very far away. Now, we can measure some to at least 150 million light years away by parallax, by use of trigonometry, measuring the angles. Well, then we know that at least it took 150 million years for that light to get here. That the universe must be at least that old. And with other measuring the brightness, the inverse ratio proportion, you can figure out even more distant stars. Some stars going back 12 billion years ago. Well, younger creationists will say, well, it's the appearance of age. God just made it appear. It's not real. You're not seeing real there. God just made it up. I think you make God a deceiver, a trickster, when you're just making up light, making the appearance of age. A supernova explodes. Is that just a figment that God made up that really isn't real at all? Just the appearance of age? I don't think so. You can look at the spectrum and see that light has traveled that distance. You can see the shift in the spectrum. If God just invented the light, that would not be the case at all. So there is not this appearance of age. This is a key problem for young earth creationists. Stars that are millions and billions of light years away. The earth, the universe expanding. Even in the Bible, it talks about the heavens are stretched out. So, the stars show that the earth, the universe, is very old. Tree rings. You count the tree rings, and you can tell how old a tree is. Well, they go back, and the Methuselah tree is about 5,000 years old. And they can check and match tree rings to go back 10,000 years old. And they can measure valleys and lakes and get back to 40,000 years ago. Carbon-14 dating is now very accurate, if not contaminated. At the very beginning, they didn't understand everything, and there was contamination, and there was some wrong dates. And Kent Hovind likes to point out wrong dates. They also know that the carbon-14, there are different ratios in ancient times, and it has to be calibrated with tree rings or with varies to get accurate measurements. And once you calibrate it and you get rid of all the impurities, then you can get accurate measurements with carbon-14. Now, many want to rely on carbon-14 for biblical things, but then they want to turn right around and say, no, it's wrong. Carbon-14 has shown how old the Dead Sea Scrolls are. It has shown how the Shroud of Turin is just a fake from the 13th century. Carbon-14 dating can help us out in dating the archaeological remains, Jericho, other cities. Carbon-14 can be very helpful. Now, in the early stages there, in the early 50s and 60s, they were getting lots of numerous wrong dates because they didn't calibrate it right. Velikovsky thought this would prove that he was right, but when they calibrated things, they found out he was wrong, that the chronology is right. Now, I need to go into much more detail on this, but we don't have time. So carbon 14 dating, when done right, can show how old things are, back to only 50,000, 60,000 years at the most. That time, though, you can't get accurate readings past that. Well, many will come along and say, well, look at this bone here. We measured it, and it tested 22,000 years, and another bone of the same place, 40,000 years. There most likely was contamination. Maybe one part was in the water or in the frost and the other part wasn't. There's various ways to show that the dates can change, and you have to be very careful with how you do things. You have to get rid of the wash and get rid of the contaminants. So that today we have very accurate readings. Well, some say, well, they took a muscle and it's live and it shows it's 3,000 years old. Well, there's certain things you can and cannot date. If a mussel or shellfish in the water takes an ancient lime from ancient limestone, you're going to get an old reading. That's why you can't take things from the ocean, because there's a different carbon ratio than in the atmosphere. And you must account for this or you get wrong readings. And they realized that in the early 60s. Now I want to move on to radiometric dating. This shows that the Earth is very old, 4.6 billion years old. Somebody has to go back to 4.9 billion. Now, this is a key indicator of how old the Earth is. The decay of uranium. Radioactive decays into lead. And this process takes millions of years to decay. And they can measure that decay and tell how old it is. The very young decay elements are not found in the Earth or in the universe, indicating the Earth is very old. There is the argon-calcium measurement, especially for volcanoes. And it's designed to measure something very old. If you take a recent volcano eruption, you test it and probably say it's a million years old, because that is what the error bar is. For example, let's say I want to measure a dime. If I put that on a male scale, I may be able to get a pretty accurate measurement. If I put that on a scale, which I stand on and measure my weight, it's probably not going to register at all. And if we have put it on a truck weight, nothing's going to happen. What's going on here? Are my measurements and instruments all wrong? Should I throw them all out? Should I throw radiometric dating out? No. The male scale was designed to measure male, something very small. The scale for me is something a little bit bigger. The truck scale for something even bigger. When you try to put a feather on the truck scale, it's not going to measure anything. That doesn't mean the measurement is wrong. That doesn't mean the scale is wrong and we should throw everything out, like young earth creationists want to do with radiometric dating. No! You've got to use the right scale. Timer 14 may only go back 50,000 years to get an accurate measurement. Past that, you have to measure, it's going to say everything's 50,000 years old. The argon potassium method, it may say a recent eruption is 1 million years old because it's designed to measure things in millions of years. It's not designed to measure something recent. It doesn't mean that it's wrong at all. Another thing is that you can get two different measurements for the same rock. One rock may say it's 1 million years old, and we take a measurement from the same rock and we get 10 years old. For the moon rocks, you can get different ages. Why? Because different minerals and elements will measure different times. For example, one may measure the last time it was heated up. Metamorphic rock. You get two measurements. One, the last time it was heated up, and then an older time of when it was formed. So you can get two different measurements. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It's measuring two different things. A lunar rock, it may be measuring the last meteorite impact or the last volcanic eruption. So we have to be very careful of what we're measuring and understanding the geology of it, because these can be very accurate in measuring. But we've got to be careful of the error bar. Know what the error bar is. Accurate within 1 million years or not? So these are some of the key things to show how old the Earth is. Starlight, tree rings, carbon-14 dating, radiometric dating. All can give us accurate measurements. And when you use them together, different measurements, uranium and argon potassium, and using different measurements on the same rock and you get similar dates, it shows that you're on the right track, that this is right. Now, it doesn't mean that the Bible is wrong, that the earth is old. Some even claim the Bible claims it's old. The earth is from everlasting, from of old, the mountains. The Bible wasn't meant to be a science book to tell us how old the earth is. It's a spiritual book to instruct us in righteousness. I hope these different ideas and information can help you, and there's more on our website. Thank you very much.